5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show. Thanks for hanging out with us here live from the Auction Community Studios. Dave Burns alongside Judd Gambadora, who's now showing everybody on staff the math test that he took for his daughter.
It was actually worse than I initially told you.
Yes.
I got 14 out of 22, correct, not 14 out of 21.
Yeah.
Which I think is a failing grade. That might take me below 65. 14 out of 22.
Again, the courage that you're showing in telling this story on this very popular radio show is...
I showed you the test.
Cannot be measured by man.
It's not all. I mean, it were more questions. It was one page of the test, but I showed you like the first page of the test.
Yeah.
And the questions were hard.
Yeah, you got a lot of courage.
Cole jumped rope for 7.5 minutes. How many seconds did he jump rope?
You got that one right. You showed
me that one.
You
got
that one
right. I got some right.
Yeah, you did.
I just got some wrong, too.
Here's all you need to know about the Miami Dolphins' current situation now that they've traded Ryan Tannehill to the Tennessee Titans. And I'm reading directly from the ESPN story.
Okay.
The Dolphins currently just have two quarterbacks on their roster, Jake Ruddock and Luke Falk. That's it. That's all you need to know. There's really nothing else you need to know about this story because they got Stu Gotts, to borrow a Gambo phrase, a quarterback. Stu Gotts is going to be his name. First name Stu, last name Gotts, will be the quarterback this year for the Miami Dolphins.
Might as well, because there's two ways of thinking right now. Number one is they need a quarterback desperately. They're gonna draft one. They're gonna move up to draft one, or they're gonna trade for Josh Rosen, because the other options are Mike Glennon, Colin Kaepernick, RG3,
Blake Bortles,
Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, those options are not very good. So you either trade for Rosen or you get somebody in the draft by staying where you're at and moving up. That's what you could do. The other line of thinking is this. Next year's draft class, right now, they say it's loaded. Three quarterbacks projected to be among the top four players selected next year.
You gave me permission to hit you. You looked at a 2020 mock draft.
I did. I'm sorry.
And I didn't hit you. I would never hit
you.
You
can. I'll give you a free shot.
No.
If you want to smack me for bringing this up, I will give you a free punch.
I brought up a 2020 mock draft. Do you want to take a shot? You guys can get a free shot.
Then we're in HR and we've got paperwork to fill out.
I'm not like that. I'm not a tattletale.
Oh, I would. If you hit me, we're in HR.
Well, but he gave you permission.
I guess that's true.
You want a free shot. I brought up a 2020 mock draft. You want a free shot, you get one, because that was stupid of me, but I did it.
In the 2020 mock draft, they had three of the first four picks were Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert out of Oregon,
and Jake Fromm out of Georgia.
So, obviously, next year's quarterback class looks a whole lot better than this year's quarterback class. That's a given. Are the Miami Dolphins, the players will never tank. The players will play as hard as they can
when the season starts. If your quarterback sucks, you have no chance to win.
But if your quarterback sucks, you have
no chance.
It
doesn't matter how hard you play. You're not going to win when he throws 25 interceptions and 16 touchdown passes in a season. I mean, it's just you're not going to win. So they get rid of Tannehill. He goes to the Titans. They were going to get rid of him anyway, but they get rid of him a year early. And it could be, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what their plan is. They're either tanking for one of those quarterbacks next, but we'll know. I mean, we'll know based on what they do. If they go draft a quarterback now, then they're not worried about next year's draft class. Or if they trade for Rosen, if the Cardinals are even trading him, well, then we know they're not tanking for next year. But if they don't do anything, and they just, like, if they just sign RG3 to be their quarterback, Blake Bortles on a one-year, if they sign a quarterback on a one-year deal,
yeah,
they're going to try to lose football games on purpose.
Yeah, I don't know how else you could look at it. Look, I'm not going to lie. When I first saw the story, my first immediate reaction, and the first reaction we had on the show, because we opened the show with it at 2 o'clock, was, boy, there's a team to go trade with right there. I mean, especially if you decide you want Kyler Murray number one, and if you decide you're ready to move on from Josh Rosen after just 1 year, as crazy as it sounds, the Miami Dolphins, because we've talked all along, if he were to go to the Giants, the problem with him going to the Giants is that Josh Rosen wouldn't start right away for the Giants. And that would be awkward for a guy who started as much as he did his rookie year to suddenly be relegated to a backup role again. You kind of needed another team that had a vacancy at starting quarterback. Now you got one. And if the Dolphins like Josh Rosen, maybe a deal could be made so where you could get the 13th pick for Josh Rosen. Now, maybe that's dreaming. Maybe you couldn't get a pick that high. But it certainly seemed like at least a possible landing spot for Rosen. And if not that, maybe the Dolphins do want to move up to number one and they could make like an LA Rams-style offer like they did a few years ago to get Goff from the Tennessee Titans. But now, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm wondering, if the Dolphins are going to do exactly what you say, let's just get Blake Bortles. I'll get Blake Bortles, and we'll just live with being a 2-14 team next year. Listen, and when we do, we'll get Tua Tagovailoa, and we'll be set.
Here's the truth. They haven't had a good quarterback since before the Diamondbacks won the World Series. The last time they had a good quarterback was 1999. Was Dan Marino. Name one good quarterback they've had since Dan Marino.
I can't.
Gus Frerotte?
Nope.
Cleo Lemon? Chad Pennington? They haven't had a quarterback. Chad Henne? Their quarterbacks have sucked. Jay Fiedler? They had Dan Marino retired. Damon Heward? Brock's brother? They haven't had a good quarterback since 1999.
Oh, man. Somewhere Brock is going to be really mad at you for
saying that. I'm sorry. But if you look at those quarterbacks, you can't find one. You can't find one good quarterback.
I'm looking at the list right now.
From 99 on, you will not find one good quarterback from every Dolphins.
Jay Fiedler.
Sucked.
A.J. Feely.
Sucked.
Gus Frerotte.
Sucked.
Dante Culpepper.
Sucked.
Joey Harrington.
Sucked.
Trent Green.
Same.
Cleo Lemon.
Who?
Cleo Lemon.
What's a Cleo Lemon?
John Beck was in there for good measure. Chad Pennington, Chad Henne, Tyler Thigpen, Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Brock
1999.
Osweiler. Yeah.
They might just tank. If I'm them, I tank.
Sage Rosenfels was in there for a little bit as well. Lucas was in there for a little bit as well.
I might say, listen, we haven't had a good quarterback since the 90s. We're going to suck and get the number one pick. And then we'll choose between Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, and Fromm. And that's what we'll do. I would do that if I was Miami. I will sign the worst quarterback available to be my guy because I don't want to win any damn football game.
As a Cardinal fan, I hope they don't. Because Mike Glennon, you're my guy.
We love Mike Glennon.
I want teams to be able to negotiate with, to deal with. If you're a Cardinals fan, you better hope the Dolphins aren't doing that. Because I want the Dolphins to be rationalizing inside their offices. Okay, we don't want Tannehill back. We know it. We think the Cardinals are going to draft Murray and trade Josh Rosen. And he might go to the New York Giants at number 17, you know, with the pick that they just got in the Odell Beckham trade, right? So how can we top that? We can give them our number 13 pick because we really like Josh Rosen. I hope that's what's going on. I hope, but I don't know. I wouldn't bet a house payment on it. I wouldn't bet a house payment
on it. They go sign Mike Glennon to a one-year deal. You're going to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
We'll know what they're doing.
Sure.
Like, they just got rid of Tannehill.
Soon enough.
So, yeah, if they sign a quarterback to a one-year deal, and this is our guy, we're going with this guy for the season, Ryan Fitzpatrick's our guy, you know that they're going to lose games.
We've got the Burns and Gambo podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by Auto Nation Chevy. It's not a surprise, but the Cardinals have been by far the most active team in the NFC West this offseason when it comes to free agency. How much will the moves impact the divisional standings? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and the Gamble Show.
Dolphins.
Jay Fiedler.
Sucked.
A.J. Feely.
Sucked.
Gus Frerotte.
Sucked.
Dante Culpepper.
Sucked.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
Wow, we've learned all sorts of things about Gambo today. 14 out of 22 on his daughter's fourth grade math homework.
I got better than she did. She got like 6.
The concept that when one of his buddies used to date a good-looking girl back in high school, the other buddies would beat that guy up.
No, you got a punch to the jaw.
Well, I mean, that's okay.
It was just
splitting hairs, but yeah, I mean, it's basically the same thing, which...
I'm trying to find out the reason why.
I wish you would, because we're all very...
I will have it by the end of the show.
I don't think I'm engaging in hyperbole when I'm saying that just about everybody on staff is kind of intrigued by that one, right? We've had a few visitors in there in the studio who are like, what exactly did he mean by that? I don't know. I'm not really sure why, because you were dating somebody attractive in high school that allowed all of your friends the opportunity to hit you in the face. I
perplexed would be the word.
I think that's, yeah, and I don't just mean on the Burns and Gambo show. I mean, there are lots of people at the station who kind of wondered what was behind all that, so please find out for us.
If you ended up dating somebody that was, like, seriously hot, you got a punch to the face. That's what you got. That's what you got. You got, it was a punch to the jaw.
Has anyone punched you in the face over Chelsea?
For that reason or otherwise.
So a lot of guys would like to punch me in the face over Chelsea. Thank God. Thank goodness I live in Arizona, not New York. In New York, I probably,
I
would have taken a lot of shots. Apparently punching people in the face is illegal in New York. Here, it's completely against the law.
I just asked Frankie. I go, why did we punch each other in the face when somebody had a hot girlfriend?
Let us know what Frankie said.
I'm trying to explain
that
on air. And so I just don't remember how, why, but we, yeah.
So that's the knowledge that we dropped on you today. Gambo was dropping knowledge like just all over the place today, which is good to know. Revenge of the Birds, that website that covers the Cardinals, follows the Cardinals.
I'm going to get you an answer before the end of the
show. I appreciate that. I will. They dropped a little knowledge on us today. And it's not going to surprise anybody. I think when you kind of put it in context, you go, wow, that's sort of a shocking number when you think about it. The Arizona Cardinals have signed 11 free agents so far, all right? And I'm not talking towards the end of last year. I just mean in 2019, 11 free agents so far. The rest of the division combined, six. Now, it makes sense. The Cardinals were 3-13, had a million holes to fill, and went out and tried to fill a million holes. But you compare the activity level of one team compared to everybody else in the division, it is still kind of a staggering number, isn't it?
It is.
11 free agents for one team, 6 combined for the other 3. We all know the reason why, but still, when you see the number, it's a little unusual to see it.
It is, but you know what? This team won 3 football games, okay? San Francisco had Jimmy Garoppolo, and he went down. And so for them, they probably still think they got a really good football team. They've added a couple of players, right? They got Dee Ford. They got Quan Alexander. They kind of went for the big,
Tevin
the big
Coleman
hits right
too.
There.
They didn't
Tevin
have to spend
Coleman.
A lot of money for him, but they got Tevin
Coleman.
Yeah,
you know, Seattle hasn't done a whole lot. I mean, they've lost some key players on there. Team. The biggest thing they did is they re-signed KJ. That was their big deal. The Rams, you know, they were in the Super Bowl last year. They've got a good roster. They haven't been that active. It's the Cardinals that won 3 football games that are taking a blowtorch to their roster because their roster was no good. They want to get rid of the players. And, you know, when the one thing you get to do when your team is bad is you get to evaluate the guys at the end of the season. Who's playing hard? Who wants a job next year? And if you've got guys that aren't playing hard, you're going to get rid of those guys. You can't play hard. Even though the season's over, I need to see something from you. And if you're going to quit on the team and you're not going to give 100%, you know, they're not going to want those guys back. So the Cardinals are going to have a complete roster overhaul. By the time we get to training camp, there's going to be 20-plus new players on this team. 20-plus new players on this team.
Yeah.
Easily. When you count the free, they've already added 11 guys, right, through free agency and trade.
That's not even counting the guys towards the end of last year. If you want to count DJ Swearinger or Farrell Cooper on that list, we don't talk about him much. That's already almost a quarter of the roster. It's going to get closer to a third, maybe even almost a half of the roster, depending on the kind of turnover that they have. It's, look, again, the strategy is obvious. They had lots of holes to fill, but the philosophy behind the strategy, it was real clear. Steve Keim was not going to overpay for one guy in particular, right? I mean, how many months were we talking about? All that cap space they had, all this space, all this money. They didn't blow it on one guy. They didn't target one player and say, we're going to overspend to get a CJ Mosley.
So they're not going to take a hit if it doesn't fail. If they there's teams that have $55, $60 million in guys. If those guys don't work out, you know, Nate Solder with the Giants last year. If you make a big mistake, you get burned bad.
Yes.
The Cardinals don't have a lot invested in any one guy.
Nope.
So they can, you know, they're not going to take a big hit with any of these players. I mean, the money's not great. I mean, for any of them. I don't know what JR's number is. Sweezy.
I haven't seen financials on him either. I don't know if anyone's reported that or not.
I don't know what his numbers is. But the biggest one is that they signed with Jordan Hicks. He got $20 million guaranteed. $20 million. I mean, it's not as big as a hit. It's not. I mean,
and that's a contract that, like a lot of contracts, if after 2 years the Cardinals decide it's time to move on, it's pretty easy to move on. I saw the complete details of that contract today. You talk about dead money hit and salary cap savings. If after 2 years they decide Jordan Hicks isn't working out very well, they can move on from that contract very, very easily with minimal. So that there's not, you're right, there's not a lot of financial risk involved with the Cardinals in almost any of these signings, where with the 49ers. Now, the Rams, okay, they got Eric Weddle. I think that's a good addition for them. I like that.
It's a
championship roster. The Seahawks, you mentioned KJ Wright was the big one, bringing him back. They also signed Mike Iupati. They signed Jason Myers, but they lost Earl Thomas. They lost J.R. Sweezy. The Niners are the team that I look at. Man, they spent a lot of money on Quan Alexander, a guy coming off of two ACLs. Boy, they spent a lot of money on D. Ford. And I like D. Ford, but they gave him a ton of cash. Tevin Coleman is actually being hailed by a lot of people as one of the best signings of the offseason, because they didn't have to spend a whole lot of money for him.
He's a good player. I mean, I like him. So to me, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, they got to the Super Bowl. They want to try and get back. They've got a good defense, and I think Tevin Coleman's a guy that can help them. You know, a speed guy. You know, so that's a good signing by them. But, the Cardinals, Max Garcia, 1 year deal, no risk. Terrell Suggs, 1 year deal for $7 million. Charles Clay got a 1 year deal for $3.5 million. Brooks Reed got a 1 year deal for $2 million. The only other guy that really got any money probably was Alford, who got $13.5 million guaranteed, which, it's not the end of the world. Like, it's not a $50 million deal or a $60 million deal like some of these other guys got, a $40 million deal. So they limited their risk. And he added a lot of players. Now, some of these players are high risk, are high risk but high reward.
Sure.
So some of them, and you said this earlier, you're 100% right. Some of these guys are going to work out, and some of them aren't. Some of these guys are not going to work out.
You're crazy if you think they're all going to work out.
No, some will get re-injured again and not be able to play. Like, oh, why did they waste $5 million on him? Or why did they waste $7 million? Yeah, that's going
to
happen.
I'll be really curious to see. 1 year from now, who did better in free agency? The Cardinals and the 11 guys they signed, or the 49ers and the three guys they signed? Because
you'll know in a
sure,
year.
Sure, but it's just two totally different philosophies, and I'll be really curious to see who got it more right a year from now. Because they are two kind of competing philosophies, and both of these teams went at it completely different. I don't know what the answer is going to be, but I'm looking forward to finding out. Everybody looking for a trade partner for Josh Rosen, or at least everybody's wondering if the Cardinals will have a trade partner for Josh Rosen. And now the mock drafts have followed suit. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show on this Friday afternoon here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thanks for hanging out with us. Suns and the Rockets tied 23 apiece. 2:46 to go.
Yeah. Bad news for the Rockets right now.
Bad news for the Rockets.
That's right.
Kenneth Faried had a monster dunk. ASU coming up later tonight. We'll talk more about them in a second, but I do want to pass along this score. Buffalo is now beating Central Michigan 81-80 with 15.5 seconds to go in that game.
Oh, man.
Only bring up that game because if Buffalo loses this game, then
somebody's bubbles burst.
Someone's bubble just got burst.
Kid's not going to college because mommy paid $500,000 for a kid to be on a rowing team.
It's not quite what's going to happen. It's really more like some college basketball team's not going
to
get in.
Supposed to be in gets jobs. You get jobs. Some kid was going to go to USC, but they didn't get in because of some actress.
Because of Buffalo, and they're going to win. Yeah. We'll see if they win the game. They're up two, and they're about to hit another free throw to see if they can go up three, and they do, so we'll keep an eye
on this.
That's
a nice little comeback by them.
Yeah, it was. They were down in this game, and they had a rally to come back as the clear number one seed in that conference. All right. Mock drafts are the most unreliable. You've made the point many times. Why we talk as much mock drafts as we do is
done a good job in not talking about them the last week.
Because we've been so focused on free agency.
The bet that I won from you guys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Kyler Murray number one in one of the top mock drafts. That's right. We all have to take you to lunch one day.
You guys owe me, and then you owe me one separately. So I got one and actually two lunches coming to me.
Yes, you do. But weren't you going to take me out to lunch?
I am going to take you out to lunch for your birthday.
So where it just kind of cancels each other out, then, I guess. But we like each other's company, so we should still go out to lunch.
We do. Yeah, we don't dislike each other.
The mock drafts, when it comes to...
You like having a friend that's you're a lot smarter than... That's why I'm around.
Is that why I keep you around? Yeah. Because I like
it's having nice to have a friend like
I do.
Make you feel smart when you hang out with me.
I have very smart friends. There's no doubt about that. The mock drafts are a terrible predictor of anything. This is known, but it is interesting. There's a mock draft out there that thinks that the Giants are going to take the pick they got in the OBJ trade and send it to the Cardinals for Josh Rosen.
Yeah, they think that's what they do. They it's CBS. CBS's mock draft. Take the trade. Take the pick from Odell Beckham Jr. Trade it for Josh Rosen, number 17. That way, if you know if you're the Giants, you make a pick at 6. So they've got him taking Juwan Taylor from Florida, because it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Indeed.
At number 6 and at number 17, the Cardinals would then, they've got the Cardinals taking Dalton Risner, an offensive lineman from K-State, with the 17th pick. So they have the Giants actually trading the 17th pick for Rosen. So if they're able, listen, I think you might be able to justify that better with Giants fans, too, if you turn that pick into a quarterback. Listen, we had Odell Beckham Jr., because you trade him right now and you're like, well, what a terrible trade, terrible trade, terrible trade. If you get a franchise quarterback out of it, if Rosen turns out to be a franchise quarterback, hey, yes, we traded Odell Beckham Jr. We got our franchise quarterback out of it. That's what we traded him for.
Sure.
We gave up a diva wide receiver and we got a quarterback. That's our quarterback of the future. I still think that the hardest thing about trading for Rosen is that Eli's still there. And that is Rosen going to sit for the whole year, half a year, 2 years? I mean, you just, how much of the rookie contract do you want to waste on a guy not playing?
No, that's a good, because the whole benefit of having the rookie quarterback, right, is being able to have the rookie quarterback on that contract so you can go spend the money on.
Oh, and his contract is $2 million, $2 million, $2 million. That's his contract, $2 million.
Yeah.
Every year, $2 million.
So that's the benefit to something like that. And the Giants would be robbing themselves of that benefit if they were to trade for Rosen only to sit him behind a vastly overpaid Eli Manning. Look, I if it even comes to this, and we don't even know if it is, we still have no idea how this is going to turn out, if the number one pick is going to get traded, if Rosen's going to get traded, what's going to happen. I'll tell you this. If you're going to trade Rosen to the New York Giants, if that's what it's going to be, I'd be fine with the 37th pick. Now, if I can get the 17th pick, well, of course. But if you're going to tell me, hey, at the end of the day, the Cardinals are going to get the Giants' second-round pick for Josh Rosen, I'd be cool with that.
Yeah,
I'd be cool with that.
Because I didn't think that you would get a pick that high.
Nope, I'd be fine
but
with that.
But if you get 17?
Oh, if you get 17.
Because 17 is like, you know what? I could move on from Rosen and not feel like I had a big loss there. Drafted him. We like Murray better. We traded him. We went from 10 to 17. Not that big of a deal. Now, they did give up a couple picks to Oakland and move up to get him. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not like taking a big hit by taking a third-round pick for him.
So follow me here. Even if the Dolphins end up signing a Blake Bortles type or a Ryan Fitzpatrick type or somebody like that, Ryan Tannehill getting traded by the Dolphins to Tennessee today in some ways was the best thing to happen to the Cardinals, and here's the reason why. Because now they can call the Giants if indeed Rosen is even on the table. Now they can call the Giants and say, 37? Hey, you offer me 37 for? I might have a deal with the Miami Dolphins at 13. Yeah, you need to come better than 37.
It does give you a team that you can, as long as Miami's not, you know, and these teams don't really talk to each other. You know, it gives you a little leverage. A
little bit.
It gives you a little bit of leverage. I mean, you could, Washington hasn't ruled out taking a quarterback. Miami could take a quarterback. The only team that you would say they're not taking a quarterback now, I would say, is Jacksonville. Because of the Foles deal?
I don't even think you can rule out Denver at this point at 10. Not with Flacco. He's got a couple years.
34, 35 years
old? Yeah, he's only got a couple years. I don't think you can rule out Denver either. Now, I mean, okay, if you're the Giants, you go, well, you know, the Dolphins have the 13th pick in the draft. If that's what they're offering you, that's better than anything we're going to do. So go take it, you know. The leverage only goes so far. But if you're the more teams interested in a quarterback, the better. This is going to be one of the most entertaining month and a half around here just to see what the Cardinals end up doing. And just like Dan Graziano said on Doug and Wolf, what the Cardinals are doing right now, and by the way, Buffalo did meet Central Michigan, so nobody's bubble has been burst yet. Buffalo advances to the next round.
So the kid that deserves to go to college gets to go to
college. The kid who deserves to go to college, and Hollywood Richie Rich didn't go because mom and dad bought his way in. Dan Graziano says what the Cardinals are doing with all of these rumors is picture perfect.
They're doing great. I mean, like, this is exactly what I would want if I had the first pick. I would want everyone to be 100% convinced that I was doing nine different things, right? Like, you talk to people, they're like, 100% they're taking Kyler Murray. 100% there's no way they're taking Kyler Murray. They'll trade the pick. They'll trade Rosen. They'll draft Murray and keep Rosen. I mean, like, it's awesome. And if you had the number one pick and you're Steve Keim, this is exactly the situation you would want to create for yourself. Total confusion.
And now hopefully you create the confusion that, hey, Denver still might be in the market for a quarterback. They're at 10. Washington still might be in the market for a quarterback. They're at 15. The Dolphins are at 13. The Giants are at 17, right? You have to create, especially, okay, not so much for Murray, or not so much for the number one pick, but if you're moving Rosen, and you can convince all of those teams in that general area there of the first round that you need to make your best offer because he might go to Denver or Washington or Miami or New York, right there in the teens of the draft. If you can play all those teams against each other and somehow end up with one of those picks for Josh Rosen, you've played this masterfully if you're the Cardinals, if you can play that
game
like that.
Up until now, they have played it masterfully. I mean, because there's a lot of, I don't want to say misinformation, but there's just a lot of guessing out there.
Yes.
There's just a lot of guessing. I don't say misinformation, just lots of guessing right now. And nobody really, like I get asked all the time, all right, come on, seriously, who are the, I'm like, I don't know. Like, there are a lot of things that I know.
It's a lot of guessing.
I mean, like, there are things that I know in advance. I knew J.R. Sweezy early in the morning before he signed it. There are things that I know. This one, I don't know. Like, I'm just being honest. I have no idea what they're going to do. They could keep Rosen and take Bosa. They could trade the pick. They could take Murray. I don't have a good feeling about it. Now, I will tell you. I will give you just talking with players on this team. There is a feeling they're going to take Murray. There's a feeling from the players on the team that they're going to take Murray.
I can't wait to find out. When is that first report from Schefter, Rappaport, Graziano, whomever? Sources telling me the Cardinals have had conversations with Team X about Josh Rosen. Because the minute that happens, right? The minute that leaks, the minute that gets out, that would seem to be the indicator that they're going to go Kyler Murray number one.
Right.
When is that day going to happen? I have no idea. But
if that happens,
kind of the leak we're all looking for.
Yeah, if that happens, we go straight down this other road and we just keep going. Like, yep. we're on a damn autobahn.
We're on Kyler Murray Expressway. Yeah. That's what it's going to be.
If the second we get any indication that Rosen's getting shopped, then we know that they're going to take Murray.
March Madness tips off next week. With it comes your chance to be the bracket boss here at Arizona Sports, and it's presented by Santan Ford and Schwartz Laser Eye Center. Text the word boss to 62620. Sign up. Get your bracket. Compete for your shot at $1,500. Again, text BOSS to 620620. Does ASU, this is going to sound familiar, need a win tonight to really be sure? And does the Pac-12 Conference even want ASU to win tonight? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. We got Luke Lipinski coming up with a full edition of The Rundown coming up at 6. He's going to walk you right up until ASU basketball tonight. You'll hear the game here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, the Pac-12 semifinals, ASU versus Oregon tonight. I think they're in. You think they're in. Casey Jacobson thinks they're in. There is still some lingering doubt out there in the college basketball community.
I'm telling you. The majority of the brackets, like what bracket matrix.
Yes.
The vast majority of them have ASU, and very few of them have ASU not in the bracket matrix. So I feel real comfortable. Like, I'd be floored if they didn't get in. Like, they have, you're not going to take one team from the Pac-12 when ASU's got a good, you know, good record. They've won a lot of their games down the stretch. I know their net rating isn't. You know, they did move up four spots with that win. Listen, every win, if they win tonight, you know, that helps a little bit more. You get to the finals. I mean, all of that matters. You know, if you win the Pac-12, you're in automatically. But I just can't imagine that they haven't done enough already.
Okay, but once again, and I'm looking at bracket matrix right now. And what bracket matrix does is it takes all of the mock brackets out there and kind of puts them together and comes up with like a consolidated rating. And right now, you're right. ASU is in on 94 of the 111 brackets they're looking at right now.
I think that was before last night's game, too.
Well, no, some of these brackets are from the 15th, okay, which is today. Yeah, okay. Some of these are today's brackets. But keep in mind, again, I'm going to keep saying this, their definition of in and our definition of in are different. Their definition of in includes playing in one of those first four games. I don't want a first four
as
game.
It should for them. I mean, to them, that's, you know, you're in, you're playing.
I know, but so when we say 94 out of 111 say in, bear in mind, for some of those brackets, in means playing on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. I don't want Tuesday.
No,
or
we don't
Wednesday
watch Tuesday, Wednesday games.
I want Thursday, Friday. All right. Even though Syracuse went on a little run last year after they beat ASU, and sometimes those play-in winners do win a game or two when they get to the actual tournament. I don't want to deal with the play-in game BS anymore. I want in. For some of these brackets, in is Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't count that as in. I want Thursday or Friday.
I don't disagree with you. I buy that. I don't think that they play the play-in game. I mean, now you got Lenardi thinks they're what, a 10 seed?
Lenardi says they're a 10 seed.
And then Palm thinks they're in a play-in game.
Correct.
All right, so I mean that scares me a little bit. Jerry Palm's a respected guy that does a pretty good job of this, but Lenardi says they're a solid 10. They're in as a solid 10 team.
He's got them as one of the last four teams to get a first-round bye, in essence. The last four in have to play a first four game.
You know what's really kind of shocking to me?
Well, what's up?
Like, we thought that they had to win five out of the last six games to solidify that they're in, and they did, and then they won their first Pac-12 game, and they can't get off that damn bubble.
You just summed it up. That's the frustration now.
That pisses me off.
I think a lot of ASU fans are feeling.
Win five out of six and you're solidly in. They win five out of six and one guy's got him as the last four in. Another guy's got him on the bubble. It's like there are still people that have them. They just don't want to move them up anywhere.
That's it.
It's like there's nothing you could do to get off this bubble. You're there. You're staying. They won five out of six down a stretch, right? Am I right?
You are right.
Is it five? And then they won their first Pac-12 game.
Yep.
Like, they can't get solidly in now? They can't move up to an 8 seed or a 9 seed or a 7?
Yep.
They have to stay, as one of the last four or last eight teams in?
You have just focused in on, I think, the number one frustration of ASU fans right now. Man, when is enough enough? You know, can we say, we don't have to worry about this anymore? Now, I'd like to think that if you beat Oregon tonight, Oregon, which has a higher net rating than you do, if you're ASU, ASU sitting at 63, Oregon's at 56. I'd like to think if you beat Oregon tonight, we can finally say, hey, man, enough. They've done everything they need to do. But who knows?
They went on the road. We talked about they had to go on the road.
Yeah.
And they did one day. They won two of the last three on the road.
Now, Casey Jacobson, we had him on earlier. And he thinks even if ASU wins the Pac-12 tournament, the best seed they're going to get is a 10. I think they can go all the way up to 8, but I could buy the argument that you don't want to go to 8.
Well, they're saying Washington may get an 8, and that's the best team in the conference.
Right.
And they may only get an 8.
But Casey brought up a real interesting point. Let's say somebody other than Washington or ASU wins the Pac-12 tournament. Is this a three-bid league if that happens?
It is very viable. This is not like a pie-in-the-sky, hopeful thinking. This is very real. Like, Oregon's playing well. If they beat Arizona State tonight and they beat Washington, which isn't out of the realm of possibilities at all, wouldn't surprise me. Oregon gets the auto bid. Washington's safe. And I feel good about Arizona State. I really do. That would be a great scenario. I know there's a lot of fans who are, they don't want to hear this, but it would be pretty cool if Oregon took down the tournament and the Pac-12, which has been, everybody's been pooping on all season, gets three teams in.
It would be cool.
Cool up until then, and then they lose their first three games in the Pac-12 in the NCAA tournament. And we look at this. Look, the bottom line is no matter what, they got to figure out what the hell is wrong with the Pac-12 in football and basketball.
Amen.
This conference used to be a power conference, and it's not anymore. And that's a story for another day. But the reality is it's sad. It's pathetic. They're no longer relevant in football, the conference. They're no longer relevant in basketball. You got to take a look at the commissioner. Things have to change in the Pac-12. And we're arguing about whether they're going to get one, two, or three teams in, and the highest seed they may get is an 8 seed. And nobody won last year, right? Didn't everybody lose in the first round? They didn't have a win. They didn't have a single win in the Pac-12 tournament last year.
Everybody was out by Friday. Every single team in the Pac-12 conference.
Yeah, what's the chances they're going to have somebody make a run to get to a Sweet 16 this year?
Probably not very good.
Zilch.
Speaking of life on the bubble,
off the face-off, quick shot. Right on by Hinostroza, looking for his first career hat trick. Save, rebound. Vinny's got it again. He shoots. He scores! Vinny Hinostroza has the hat trick.
We would be remiss in our duties if we didn't give the Coyotes a little bit of love after another win last night. Vinny Hinostroza, his first career hat trick. Darcy Kemper played out of his
mind.
Darcy
Kemper's been one of the best goalies in the NHL. I mean, he's carrying this team. He's been unbelievable. And they're just playing him night after. I mean, Tocchet is just riding him. And just, look, you got to play every game. And they've been in a playoff fight ever, you know, for the last, like, month. I mean, every battle's been a playoff battle. And they got a little bit of a cushion now with a few points, you know, a few points up on Minnesota, because Minnesota lost. Vegas is playing Dallas right now. So you scoreboard watch a little bit. Vegas is playing Dallas. You're closing in on Vegas, and you've got Dallas. You're right there with Dallas. So, you know, all of these games are important. Anaheim's playing Colorado. Colorado might get 2 points on you tonight if they take care of Anaheim, who just played last night against you. So they're playing on a back-to-back. You would think that favors Colorado. But keep your eyes on those games. Colorado's playing tonight. Dallas is playing Vegas. And the Coyotes are going to have to play on the road. They've got 5 of 6 on the road after the Edmonton game. That's going to be where they either make it or break it right there.
Darcy Kemper has 19 wins since January 1st. That's the most wins in the NHL since the beginning of the new year. The Coyotes have won 10 of their last 12. Right now, a 3-point lead over Minnesota for the last wild card spot, and 4 points behind Vegas in the Pacific Division for a spot there as well.
And again, Vegas is playing tonight. They're tied right now with the Stars 1-1, so keep your eye on that.
Coyotes, Edmonton tomorrow, and then after that, they play what? What do we say? 4 of their next 5? Five of their next 6 on the road after that. The season could be make or break time right there for the Coyotes.
Absolutely.
During those 6 games.
They're going to have to win those games. You're at Tampa. You're at the Islanders. I think they play at the Devils. They're at Florida. I mean, Tampa's very, very good. The Islanders are a good team. Some of those games are tough games.
5 minutes to go in the second quarter. The Rockets are beating the Suns 47-43.
What?
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, but that's what they've been outscored 21-12 so far in the second quarter. Luke Lipinski will have much more on that. He's coming up with a full edition of the Rundown. We're back Monday at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.